Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
I have a question that I want to begin with this morning, a question that each of us should struggle with and ask ourselves along the way. What is your vision for your life today? What is your vision for your life today? I mean, I want you to really think about this because none of us have any idea how long the Lord is going to let us live. But just between now and the end of the year, we have just over 4 months left in this entire year. 4 months and a few days. What do you see happening in your life? And when you really get down to the heartbeat about this, what do you think Jesus wants to do in your life between now and the end of this year? I want to talk about that with you today. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. Let's really get in the Word today and launch from the Word and interweave back into the Word. And let's really learn and grow and challenge ourselves. And let, most of all, Jesus challenge us in our lives. I want to talk to you today about when you have a vision for your life. What happens when you have a vision for your life? One of the verses in Scripture that is mentioned with vision, one of just 3 or 4 in the entire Bible that people would even think about relating to vision, is found in the 29th chapter and the 18th verse of the book of Proverbs. And you know, it's very important for us to understand what this word really means. And I want to challenge you today to really get in this with me, because I really want us to understand this today. And one of the things that I really deeply believe that we need to do is we need to look at the translations of which 29:18 are in the book of Proverbs. For example, I learned this scripture through the King James Version Bible. Any of you ever heard of the King James Version Bible? That's right. Well, the King James Version says this. It says, when there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The New King James Version says it this way, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. And then, of course, in the New American Standard Bible, it says it this way, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And notice what happens in the English Standard Version. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And then in the Christian Standard Bible, it says it this way, without revelation, people run wild, but one who follows divine instruction will be happy. What I want to do today is that I want us to get in this, and I want us to really understand what the real meaning and the real understanding of this passage is. Through the years, I've called you back and back again. When we look at a Bible verse, a section of verses, we just finished teaching through the book of Romans from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 8 over the course of several months this year. And we always called you then, and we call you back anytime we look at a brand new passage. What is the original meaning of this passage? Who is this passage written to? What are the things that we really need to know to grasp the reality and the correct interpretation of the passage? You see, here's what I want to warn you about today. Do not look at Scripture through the lens of your culture, nor through the lens of the way you feel today, or else you will end up misinterpreting the Scripture. Looking at a text like this, if you look at it in perspective to your culture, what you would all of a sudden happen with you since you live in America is that Americana spirit of entrepreneurism and success will override what the Scripture is really saying. And before you know it, you're saying something the Scripture really doesn't say. So it's very important we go back and we go deep and we understand so that we can be really forceful and, most of all, very accurate about what God is saying. In fact, what is God really saying here in Proverbs 29:18? Think about it this way. Here's what he's saying. Vision, revelation, and prophetic revelation is important to life. Whatever vision is, whatever revelation is, whatever prophetic revelation is, it's important to life. The Scripture says when you have it, whatever those things are, it is of great benefit to your life. But the Scripture also says when you do not have vision or prophetic revelation or revelation in your life, things get wild and crazy. Interesting. And the Scripture also talks to us about when you do what God says, your life is blessed and right. Therefore, we must understand what Proverbs 29:18 says. The real key to secret and the understanding of it is what those words mean in the very first phrase. For example, where there is no vision. Remember that? King James Version. Where there is no revelation. Christian Standard Bible. New American Standard Bible. And interestingly, what the English Standard Version says really has incredible meaning. Where there is no prophetic revelation, prophetic proclamation. You see, the Hebrew word here for the word vision is a word that means to perceive, it means to look, it means to reveal. It's a word most commonly meant the revelation of God's will made to the prophets. Remember, the Old Testament, God would speak through the prophets to the people. The prophets went and got a word, they came, they spoke to the people, and they shared God's word with the people. That's the way it used to work pretty much in entirety. But here in this Scripture, we see that God's will is revealed not only through the law, but also through the prophets. Also, we understand that real wisdom in God's perspective and God's revelation and God's vision is given through what is called prophetic vision. Prophetic vision. The prophets heard from God. They share what God said with the people of God, and the people adhere to what God said sometime, and sometime they did not. Well, interesting about this passage, you see the prophetic vision given and the words given by the law. Both happen. Overall, you can understand this today, that wisdom comes from the divine revelation of God through the Scriptures. And the wonderful truth is that for you and me, we get to hear what the prophet's saying. Yes, we get to know what the law says, but way beyond that, we have the full revelation. We have the full package. We hold in our hand the word of the living God, and we know the living Jesus, the Savior of the world, who died, buried, raised from the dead. He is the full revelation. And we get the whole package that ought to help us to live like God wants us to live. So what does all this mean? Well, Proverbs chapter 29, 18 tells us these three things initially. Simply put, it tells us vision starts with God. It all starts with God. You're wondering why maybe you can't have a clearer vision about your life? You got to go to God. Vision starts with God. The second thing Proverbs 29, 18 tells us is vision is discovered through the Scriptures. This is the Scriptures. And then Proverbs 29, 18 talks to us about vision as the proclaiming of the Scriptures. The proclaiming of the Scriptures. This is when we put ourselves in submission to the teacher of the Word, through the pastor of a local church, and we listen and we learn and we grow and we try to hear what God is saying to us through even the frailty and the weakness of a man so that God can speak to me in my life. But ultimately, it's not about what that guy says. Ultimately, it's about what God has already said in His Word. Oh, man, it's awesome to have a full revelation. We're so blessed. I decided I would take a moment this week and really try to write down in my own words literally what 29:18 means based off what we really know from the text. And here's what I believe it is. When there is no recognition of Scriptures and the proclaiming of the Scriptures, there can be no vision because vision starts with God. Now, leave that up there for a moment because that is very insightful to what this text means. When there is no recognition of Scriptures, if you do not abound in the Scriptures in your personal daily life, it's going to be real hard for you to walk where God wants you to walk in your life. And when you do not put yourself under the proclaiming of the Scriptures, the teaching of the Scriptures, called a worship service with a frail, weak man who has tried to be with God and he teaches you the Word, shares with you the Word. Listen, this should really threaten us because right now with church attendance being so unstable in America and even the most active people of the active might be here two Sundays a month. I mean, hey, that doesn't give you a lot of shot to learn from the proclaiming of the Scriptures. But that's the problem with culture. God's way is forsake not yourself and the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There can be no vision when you don't start in the Scriptures, you don't hear the Scriptures taught to you, because vision starts with God. I think sometimes, as I said to you last week, one of the greatest ways to know what a text says is what it tells you on the backside, what it says in other ways. Look at what chapter 29:18 says happens when you don't obey it. When you don't start with the Scriptures, when you don't put yourself under the proclaiming of the Word, when you don't understand vision starts with God. Look at this. This is 21st century America, what I'm about to tell you. You know what happens? People run wild. That's what it says. People do their own thing. Is that not what America's about? And we also learn when this happens, people have no restraint. There's no restraint, no discipline, no control. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see why the country is where the country is, it's running wild, it's doing its own thing, there's no restraint, no discipline, no control, people are completely out of control, it's because we have lost a vision of God and what God wants to say to our people. Amen. And that's what it is. And listen, when you lessen putting yourself in the Word, you lessen being under the Word, you lessen being taught the Word, guess what? You're going to run wild. The Word is like a rein, pulling the reins in on your life. It reminds you where you're going, what's going on. There was a day like that in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, when it says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare, and the prophetic visions were not widespread. I don't think we live in a day and time when the word of the Lord is rare in America. We live in a day and time when the word of the Lord is really abounding in America. But we must hear to what God says in His Word. And notice the promise of Proverbs 29:18. Man, this is worth it all. Look what He says. Look what you can learn today. When you follow divine instruction, you will be blessed. That's what He's saying. I mean, when you are willing to follow divine instruction in your life, search the Scriptures. Be under the Scriptures, the proclaiming of the Scriptures. What does He tell you? You're going to be happy. Not happy la-la land, but blessed. Blessed. Just blessed. Cared for. Blessed. Arms around from God to you. You're taken care of. He protects you. Therefore, when we go to the Scriptures personally and then we hear what the Scripture says, we develop a vision for our life and a vision for the kingdom of God and for the future of the kingdom here on this earth. So this morning, I want to ask you to go with me for a moment, and I want to ask you to choose to discover what Jesus' vision is for your life this fall. What is it? Well, we have a vision for your life this fall. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a moment. Our vision for you for the rest of this year. What is it? Now, I don't proclaim to be the prophet of the Old Testament or anything like that. But I do hang out with Jesus every day. And I do talk to Jesus about all of us every day, starting with myself. And I try to hear what He wants us to hear. Many times in the staff meeting, we will dialogue about what God is saying to us right now. And the thing that really presses upon me about between now and the end of the year is that we need to prepare you to run strong in your life. I mean, if we want to make a deposit in you, we need to really help you to run strong for this rest of the year. So how are we going to do that? A couple of ways I want to mention this morning. Well, beginning on September the 9th, which is a Sunday, we're going to begin a 9-week series called Checking the Gauges of Your Life. Checking the Gauges of Your Life. And the real heartbeat of this series is one thing: helping you to stop long enough to evaluate where you are with God and where you are in your life, and to give you the tools to move forward and to be all God wants you to be. And while this is occurring in the 10 different worship services of Cross Church on the 4 campuses of our church, simultaneously or subsequently during the week in homes, each small group from children to students to adults, all ages of adults, whether they meet on this campus or they meet during the week, we will be teaching every small group Financial Peace University. Tackling your finances. Financial Peace University, tackling your finances. This is a 9-week series that comes out of the heart and the vision of a man named Dave Ramsey that you've seen all over television on all kinds of channels. And he's had an enormous receptivity among the unchurched as well as those who are church. This is not a series about our church's finances. This is a series about your finances. For 9 weeks poured into you. You see, we all have one common thing. It doesn't matter whether we have abounding money or whether we have no money, whether we are a child or whether we are 120 today. Sooner or later, you're going to enter into a moment in your life when you have got to deal with everything God has entrusted to you in your life, no matter how small it is or how big it is. Financial Peace University is a pathway that will help you chart your way toward the future. The number one reason husbands and wives divorce one another is because of financial conflict. Undoubtedly, proven scientifically. And people hit the biggest dips in the road when something hits their family financially. So I want to challenge you today to understand the significance of this. I said on the video, right after the incredibly gifted, unbelievable Heisman pose I gave you, I said to you that 18% of the people who come to Financial Peace University are people who are not a part of the church that's offering it. Why is that? Because people are having their real needs met. Churches our size, it goes all the way up to 30%. Now, when you look at that at a church our size, that means like 800 to 1,500 guests have a potential to roll in and out of all of our campuses during these weeks of study. So we're giving you some stuff in your toolbox that God can use way out here in Northwest Arkansas in the lives of thousands of people that hardly ever or may have never come into this church. We're going to help you run strong. There's a second item I want to talk to you about, and it's our vision for our church for the rest of this year. We have a vision for our church for the rest of this year. And I think before you go forward, you need to look backward. You need to celebrate some great things that God has just done. You see, we operate on what we call a church year. That means we have a starting date and an ending date where we keep statistical data that helps us track how we're doing and what we're doing. The only exception to that is on the financial realm, because in the financial realm, our fiscal year begins in October 1 through September 30. But our church year that I just referenced a moment ago ended last week. So today is the first day of our church year. So everything I'm going to say for the next few moments has to do with the last 52 weeks in our church. For example, Cross Church grew by 5%, reaching 9,135 people weekly. 5%, that's a huge number, a percentage of growth for a church our size. You see, I told you a year ago, our goal is to reach 10,000 people weekly by the end of 2020. We're on our way. And it's a track. It's have to stay out there. It's a big opportunity, so let's pray hard for it. Second thing is we baptized 1,176 people over the last 52 weeks. Can you celebrate that with me today? That means that 1,176 people came into faith and trust in Christ and even followed through in baptism on all the campuses and ministries across church. This is the second highest in our history. We're 148 years old. Not bad. Most old churches don't do real well. But the Lord has been good. A year ago at this time, we had our largest number in our history, 1,325. And we've been operating at this high level because God's blessing. And we thank God for His blessings. Another matter that happened this last year is we established our growth track successfully. Thousands of people went through this growth track last year in October. About 4 to 5 weeks we did that with you on a Sunday morning. Hundreds and hundreds of people since then, whether over a four-week period of time or through what we would call an intensive, have been through this growth track, that what we call the next step. The next step of growing in Christ, the next step of your discipleship, the next step if you're thinking about giving your life to Christ, the next step if you don't know what you're supposed to do in your life. It always starts and ends at the growth track here. And so enter the growth track, even if you've already been through it once. Another matter that is big time is that we accomplished the Fayetteville campus relocation successfully, resulting in explosive growth. The campus location at Fayetteville could not be any better for what we're trying to do in that city. And that's a miracle of God in and of itself. But what a great miracle that is. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of college students reached every week through worship. This coming Wednesday night, our collegiate ministry at Fayetteville will have a Greek theater worship service. We're looking for over 2,000 university students to be at that very place on campus. They normally meet on the Fayetteville campus. So this is a big time opportunity, so pray for this coming Wednesday night. And even with moving into the Fayetteville location, meaning expenses up, Cross Church still eliminated $6 million of debt since this time last year. And our goal is to eliminate all of Cross Church debt by the end of 2020, and I am laser beam focused on getting it done. Because you see, if we're able to do that, yes, we need a gift here, big gift here, big gift here, but I'm telling you, the key is overdoing our budget every year, surpassing our budget need every year. That's the key. And because we're already giving a few million dollars toward it, and listen, think about what I'm talking about. By the end of 2020, if we're able to see that happen to God's glory, we'll have somewhere around $125 million worth of land and facilities with no debt, with the immediacy of $3.2 million that becomes active for everyday ministry here across America and around the world. That's a big time blessing of God. Also, while all this is happening here, just to let you know this briefly, we're planting 11 new churches in 8 cities in North America right now. Right now. And of the 32 targeted major cities categorized as send cities, where we send people to, we have planted new churches in 26 of these cities already. Our goal is to be in all 32 in the next couple of years, along with whatever else we're doing. So while we're here, we're planting 11 new churches in America. But we're also partnering right now in 11 nations outside of America, planting 16 new churches globally, around the world, outside of America. So what does that mean? Let me tell you what that means. While our church is meeting here, we're planting 27 brand new churches right now across America and across the world. If that doesn't jack you up, I don't know what's going to excite you in your faith. We're talking about gospel venues, gospel places, wonderful opportunities for the gospel. And just a little trivia, since 1992, Cross Church has planted 148 churches, 62 in North America and 86 internationally. Little FYI also, since January 1, over 100 people have come to Christ through our Compassion Center ministry. Over 100 people have come to Christ. A little more. Since January the 1st, Cross Church has served 79,992 individuals with food needs. 21,800 through our Compassion Center ministry emphasis, you hear talked about, called Feed the 479. That means feed our area code. And 4,557 helped through Hope for the City Ministry, where we took our College Avenue campus at Fayetteville, turned it into what is called Hope for the City, which is a Compassion Center ministry oriented straight to that region of Fayetteville. Outside of America, 53,635 individual meals were served through our missions ministry locally and around the world, all to the glory of God. And from all of that, we look forward to what God wants to do this fall. September the 9th, checking the gauges of your life, Financial Peace University beginning. Mark this date, September 30, Dave Ramsey will be speaking right here from this pulpit. He'll speak at our Fayetteville campus. He'll speak at our Springdale campus. He'll speak at our Pinnacle Hills campus. Listen now, folks, this is an incredible opportunity. We need to fill the house overflowing. This will help people's lives. You want to help people? This is where they need help. Amen. Everybody needs help. October the 21st, mark it on your calendar. It's our big day of high attendance on our small groups, worship services. Mark that day. Be sure you're here. We're bringing in a special guest, a young woman. We're going to interview her for 10 minutes. We're going to bring in American actress and reality television star on the popular Duck Dynasty, Sadie Robertson. And after Sadie shares a word of testimony over 10 minutes, we're going to go into the message that day. We're going to preach Jesus, and we're going to have a massive call to Christ. If there's any day this year you need to have somebody lost with you in church, it's that day. Mark it on your calendar. Bring people who need Jesus and those who may need him and they don't know that they need him. It'll be a big gospel day. And we'll enter straight into our holiday package that begins with the compassion of our Blessing Basket Ministry on November the 17th and 18th, all the way through the rest of the holiday package with our cross church worship and ministry traditions through all that we do here at Christmas time. All of that I've said to you to move us to the third and the final thing that I want to talk to you about briefly. I want to challenge you to ask yourself the hard questions about vision. The hard questions about vision. You know what the most difficult questions are you have to answer? Are the ones about you. Isn't that right? You're fine answering everybody else's questions. But when it's about your life, everything changes. And here's the first question I want to ask you to ask today. What is Jesus saying to me today about me? After all that pastor talked about a moment ago about Proverbs 29:18, about what he's trying to get us ready to go through this fall, getting stronger, ready to run the race. After all that you've done in our church, all that you're doing in our church, all we're planning and asking you to do in our church, God, in this track, it starts with exactly what pastor said earlier in the message. Have you talked to Jesus about what his vision is for your life? What is Jesus saying to you about you? That's the hardest one. I have people all the time think that they know God's vision for my life. That ever happened to y'all? I get emails on it, letters on it, phone calls on it, text on it. People always think they know what's best for me. And I'm thankful for every one of them. I want to learn, I want to grow. But the bottom line is, I have to understand fully what does Jesus want me to do, right? That's the big question. I don't report to people, I report to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of the faith, the one who was raised from the dead. Another question we have to ask ourselves is, what does Jesus want me to do in my life between now and the last day of this year? You see, it's real hard when we talk about a vision for your life and you get much past 3 or 4 months. I mean, some of us say, man, I can't even see till tomorrow. What are you talking about? I got it. We all, many times, live life right here. But I want you to really get with Jesus, and I want you to ask him, Jesus, what do you want to do with me between now and December the 31st this year? And ask yourself this question. How does Jesus want to grow me? How does Jesus want to develop me this fall spiritually? You know, many of you have a career track. Some of you have a financial plan. Some of you have all kind of things about your planning on your family. What about your spiritual life? Are you planning to develop yourself spiritually? Has it dawned on you? If you don't develop yourself spiritually, no one else has been assigned that task. No one. It's your job. It's your opportunity. Coming down to this fourth question, which is the most important question of all of them. What is Jesus' vision for me for the rest of this year? What is his vision? Jesus, what do you want me to do? You see, our attitude ought to be so submissive that even as we ask that question, we follow it with the answer, even before we know what he wants. You know what the answer ought to be? Yes. Yes. Whatever it is you want, the answer is yes. That's why we got to search the scriptures. We got to be under the proclamation of the word. We have to obey what God is saying to us. You know, we are entering into what is called football season. Football season is a great season of the year. And when you enter into that season and you know the game, you know that once you're inside your opponent's 20-yard line, that's called the red zone. And that means the offensive unit has got to give it their best, and that means the defensive unit has got to give it their best, or your opponents are going to score. Let me tell you something. Right now, you're entering the red zone of your life. The last 3 or 4 months of this year. You can't go back. You can't recapture something. But what can you do between now and then? And what does Jesus want you to do between now and then? You know, maybe you haven't thought about this, but I got to ask you this. And I ask it through simple statements. You got one shot with your life. That's all you got. You don't determine how long you live. You only determine how well you live. You got one shot with your life. One. And you better make it count. You say, well, I think I'm in the first quarter. I got plenty of time. No. You're all living in the fourth quarter, every one of you. Some of you have a little grayer hair, and you don't get around as well as you used to. But you're just like that teenager today. You're living in the fourth quarter because you don't know when the game's going to end. And it's not a game. It's called your life. And the real key is this. You need to position yourself where you can take the best shot with the rest of your life. You say, Ronnie, there's not a lot left on me. Okay? I'm wrecked. I'm torn. I'm depressed. I don't even know what I could have to offer. I tell you what. Let me tell you where you start. You just come to Jesus. That's it. You think Jesus is surprised you're struggling? No. He's very aware. He didn't ask you for a perfect you. He just asked for you. And I want to urge you, Jesus, what do you want me to do for the rest of this year in my life?